the home team.
And here we go.
All right, hour number two. This is the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden.
By the way, what
Jeff till 7.
He just said hour number two. One of the Austin Powers movies was on the other day. It just made me think of my man Bob Wagner with the eye patch there.
Yeah.
He was number two with an X-ray eye patch.
Yeah. And then Rob Lowe played the young version
that last one.
Yeah. Because that was good. That was really good casting.
It was great. And then he's got one there. Who does number two work for?
Yeah.
But when they're at the casino, and, I love it, 17, and he's got the X-ray. I'll hit. I like to live day, and he gets the 4. Then my man's got a 5. I'll stay.
Yeah.
In theory, you could win the hand, but.
Yeah. But you never know.
Yes, I'll stay.
The best would be, we'll pull a homer. 19, hit me. 20, ace. Hit me. 21, hit me.
Ace, 22. Don't.
Don't. All right, into the 5 at 5 now, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. This 5 at 5 and 25 parts, Jeff. I've got categories in each one. I'll let you choose the category for the question that I will ask you.
I'm choosing my adventure.
Yes. So here's number one. Your 5 categories are Pat Dye and Danny Ford's biggest recruiting wins.
Oh.
Coaches who wear long sleeve shirts under short sleeve shirts indoors.
All right, yeah.
Fake punts.
All right, why don't we just run a catheter commercial right now?
LeBron James versus Michael Jordan or the Heisman Trophy.
Oh my gosh.
I'll let you pick the category.
Oh, let's see. Well, at least 3 of those are trips down bad memory lanes there. So, all right. Well, I'll give you Pat Dye and Danny Ford. I'll just go ahead and rub it in.
Oh, wait. You want me to ask you that?
No, I'm just teasing. All right. What did you want to ask me?
Heisman Trophy is going to be handed out Saturday. I want you to tell us who wins, and I want you also to tell us who would you vote for?
I think Kyler Murray's going to win.
Okay. Would he have your vote?
I'd vote for Jake Fromm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but I think Murray's going to win. I mean, here's the thing, though, now, Chris. The way the Big 12 is, it's kind of become like the whack with these offensive numbers. And, I mean, is it going to be a deal where a Big 12 quarterback's pretty much just going to, you know, be at least in the finals every year?
Well, you maybe want – like, I feel like it hurt – like Andre Ware won it, and then Klingler. And then there was that one game where he threw like 90 passes. Remember that?
They scored like 91 points against SMU, I believe.
Yeah. Yes. Didn't they do something bad to Eastern Washington?
Oh, yeah. They were trying to score 100. Yeah.
But, yeah, they eventually, I think they the voters went, all right, this is getting out of control, and they didn't give it to Klingler. But yeah, Detmer won it in that period of time. And now you're going to have back-to-back Oklahoma quarterbacks because I think, you know, the AP announced its player of the year, and I would assume that they have many voters in common with Heisman voters. And, I mean, Murray got all but 13 first-place votes. So.
And, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I think the SEC championship game – probably hurt Tua's chances. I think if you go back 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think he was probably pretty close to a lock.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was like an overwhelming, even just you look at the odds on him, favorite to win it. But, I mean, I just have a hard time right now asking myself, if he had stayed in the game, would we have won the SEC championship? And I think the answer to my question is yes, we would have.
Had Jalen Hurts stayed in the game the year before, would we have won the national championship?
Yes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Right.
How does that happen?
I mean, the game in January, you know, Saban had to make the call, but this one was just basically – I mean, he would have left Tua in there, even though Tua wasn't 100%. He was going to keep playing. But finally, they let him go, and we know how it ended. But that's where I'd have a hard time voting for Tua now. I mean, I wouldn't want to ignore the entire season from beginning to end because he was – so good, but you know, at the end of the day, like, should the Heisman Trophy go to a guy that I think would have quarterbacked a team to a loss if he never left it? And I couldn't, so my vote would be for DeAndre Swift since I took him 25-1 in the summer to win the Heisman Trophy. So I've got a financial stake in him winning it. So I'd vote for DeAndre Swift.
I think he's the best tailback in the country.
He is. And he'd be worth probably a preseason, you know, maybe put a steak dinner on him next year to win the Heisman, too, at the beginning of the year. Because, I mean, look at the guy. He ended up with close to 1,100 yards this season.
Oh, magnificent. You know, what he can do out of the backfield, everything. Really, we need Holyfield to come back next season. He's a bruiser. That was a heck of a 1-2 punch.
Well, hopefully he will. And of the underclassmen we're really worried about, it'd be Mecole, Holyfield, and Auda. No one really on defense, right?
No. I mean, what do you think about Ridley, maybe?
Riley Ridley?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be – I would throw him in the mix.
So I would say – so Hardman, Ridley, now to Holyfield.
Yeah, so all offensive guys.
Yeah.
And honestly, all at positions, I mean, we could absorb their losses there.
You'd rather have them back.
Right.
But
– but if any of them decided to leave early, it's not going to leave Georgia in some real hole. And I guess it's good that there's not really a guy on defense that – has a chance to make the jump.
No, because it was like we had the four seniors and then pretty much almost all the other players were underclassmen.
Right. I mean,
J.R. Reed,
yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, he had a great game against Alabama, but he didn't really have a dominant season. And I would think, too, you know, he's a guy thinking about playing another year together with LeCount and having Otis Reese back. Like, we should be really good at safety next year. I mean, really good.
Yeah, between those two guys for sure coming back, but which will help that secondary when you all have, I mean, Stokes, both, you know, at least Campbell and Stokes have both played this year. But
you're talking about replacing. I mean, Baker's, you're talking about he has to go down as one of the best cornerbacks we've ever had.
Yeah, he's an all-timer.
I mean, these last two seasons, that's as good a back-to-back years. You know, you might have to go back to Champ Bailey.
Right. Yeah, and it just goes back to, I mean, at times this season, even at moments in games, like forgetting that he was even on the field because he just was, I mean, being ignored by the opposing offenses.
I mean, the first time stuff like that really came to mind just as the game evolved was, you know, Deion kind of got that reputation as being the first real, not even shutdown corner, but just a no-throw-to corner. And there was like a two-game stretch where I think one game, they threw maybe one ball his way. In the next game, it was none. And then that third game, it was maybe one or two. But that was like a three-game stretch where he had maybe two, three balls thrown his way. You know, Deion didn't tackle. And play. I mean, he might have had like one tackle in those three games. So he didn't have any stats, but he was having a tremendous effect on the game. But, you know, back in the day when you had the great corner, even guys – now when the Raiders had – Hayes and Haynes, you had two, so you had to throw one way. But even teams used to test those guys. But then Deion was the first guy I can remember that teams just didn't throw his way.
Don't forget the Blackwood brothers. There was nowhere
Glenn
to,
and Clyde,
there was nowhere to throw against that Killer Bees defense.
Lyle and Glenn Blackwood.
Yeah.
Those guys were dudes. And, of course, Don McNeil made the wrong tackle.
Yeah, that's right. All right, moving on to the 5 at 5. Here are your next set of categories, Jeff.
Okay, just keep the pain coming.
All-time greatest losses to Tech.
We'll skip that one.
Mountain West Conference depth charts.
Okay.
The best of Bill Curry, favorite foods with onions, or freshman quarterbacks who might transfer.
Okay, I guess we going for the last one there. I don't know.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, what do you think about Justin Fields? What are you expecting out of him?
He's got to get better. He's got to improve his game just like every freshman.
Is he going to stay here, though?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, let's look at it big picture. I mean, I want them all to stay for 4 years. But if Fromm has the kind of season next year that he's had his first 2 years and the improvement continues, which with these guys practicing against one another, against that defense, I would think that's a logical assumption to make. With the emphasis put on that position, Jake will have the option to make himself a lot of money after next season. I hope he stays 4 years. Don't get me wrong. I love Jake Fromm. I'm his biggest fan. But if he were to go, then Fields has got 2 years to be the quarterback. If he were to transfer, or if any freshman in this situation were to transfer, he has to sit next year, I mean, unless he wanted to go play 1AA, and then he would be eligible in 2020, And if Jake were to turn pro, well, I mean, right, so you're choosing to be the quarterback somewhere else instead of Georgia where you signed.
Right. That's the key for Fields, is figuring out what are the odds that Jake stays after next season,
right,
or leaves. Because if he leaves, then Fields is going to sit out a year anyway. I mean, Fromm is going to be Georgia's starting quarterback next year.
And Justin's really good, and he's going to be very good. I mean, clearly, he's not at Fromm's level.
No, but here you've already invested a year into the system.
Absolutely.
Might as well keep on. And I would say, like, what would you say the odds are? I mean, are they 50-50 or better than, you know, 50-50 that Fromm is going to play next year and then he's going to turn pro?
I mean, I would say it's 50-50. You know, I mean, best case scenario, you know, they all stay 4 years. I get that's not realistic. But, I mean, like if we went out and won the whole thing and he's potentially a top five pick, that, you know, be hard to say no to that.
No, I mean, I would think he would go.
I mean, let me tell you, he made himself a lot of money last Saturday.
Yeah, I go, you know, because you still hear people that talk about where, you know, there's some people think Fromm is NFL material and some don't. And they bring up his height and he doesn't have a big arm. And I just, to me, it even goes back to, like, question marks that people had with Deshaun Watson, which evidently they did because he ended up getting drafted, like, in the teens.
And he should have been the first pick.
Yeah, and it just, look at what he did against –
yes,
Alabama's defenses, and now we've gotten to that point with Fromm from Saturday. That's as sharp as I've ever seen, like, a Georgia quarterback against a defense like that.
I agree 100%. So, you know, it is one of those deals that, you know, when you get good players every year, you know, there's going to be at least some talk about it, and maybe some guys do wind up moving on, but I don't think that would be in the interest of Justin Fields. Plus, here's the deal. I mean, he committed here when Jake was here, and also when Jacob Eason was here. He knew what he was getting into, and Justin knows he's got to develop his game. I mean, this kid, the sky is the limit. He could be unbelievable. I mean, both of these kids have got the potential to be top five picks. But, you know, there's also, you know, that part about the team, and you made this commitment. You knew what you were getting into here. You wait your turn. I think Elijah Holyfield's a great example. I think DJ Shockley's a great example. You wait your turn, things are going to work out. You know, I think sometimes these guys, well, it's not working out right now. I'm just going to go run off somewhere and try it somewhere else. Well, I mean, good. Ask Mitch Mustain how that worked out for him. He wound up being the backup punter at USC.
Yeah.
I mean, if he'd have stayed at Arkansas, he'd have been their quarterback for 3 years.
I see it with guys that were, like, there, like a Jalen Hurts situation, a Kelly Bryant, where someone else comes in and takes your job. But, yeah, my feeling with Fields all along and why he's not going to go anywhere is he knew what he was getting into when he came here, and Fromm was in place and coming off the season that he had. So, he knew that. He could have gone anywhere else already. So, he's going to be here.
Oh, and I just think those two guys with another full season of practicing, I think they're only going to get better. And iron sharpens iron.
Are you ready for your next set of categories, Jeff?
Bud.
All right, we've got
Pat Dye, Danny Ford, and bad losses to
Pat
Tech.
Dye and Danny Ford's biggest recruiting wins. Which, what are those, I guess? They're
well, God knows. John Johnson, the Rockers,
yeah,
Nate Hill.
All right.
You know, I could list you a lot more.
All right, here's your new ready for your next set of categories. I'll let you pick which one you want a question from.
All righty.
Ray Goff.
Okay.
Losses to backup quarterbacks.
Whew, it's two bad ones.
Dan Marino's greatest passes.
God knows. How'd you come up with this? And you're leaving me tomorrow, too.
The MLS Cup Final. And finally, future college football playoffs.
Let's go to future college football playoffs, Alex.
All right, I'm glad that's the one you you wanted to go. All right, here's the deal. Since the first year of the playoff, right, year two, we had three new teams in it. It was the second year of the playoff. The only holdover was, of course, Bama.
Yeah.
In year three, we said hello to Washington. In year four, it was Georgia.
Yeah.
And now in year five, it's Notre Dame. So every year, there's been a new team in the college football playoff. Who will next year's first-timer be?
Texas.
You think Texas is in the playoff next year? So will we be playing Texas a year from now?
Potentially. I think that could be the other option is Michigan.
What about USC now with Cliff Kingsbury out there as the OC?
The thing I've had in my head was us beating Alabama Texas and Michigan to win it all, but it could be Clemson to win it all, or it could be Bama twice. That would be just it, wouldn't it?
Well, if Bama's not going to lose a game in the regular season and we beat them, then yes, they're going to be a one-loss Alabama team, even absent an SEC championship, is going to be in the playoff.
Unless it was a thing, if we beat them to be 12-1 or 13-0, if Clemson was undefeated, if either Texas or Oklahoma was undefeated,
and Michigan,
if Michigan, Ohio State, or Notre Dame, which Notre Dame couldn't, so. If we beat Notre Dame.
Right.
That's the only way.
Yeah. Or maybe if we're Notre Dame's only loss, we'd have to play them again.
I'd take that.
Yeah. Because, I mean,
what if we had to beat Notre Dame and Alabama both twice? Would that be the most
only at Georgia?
You beat Bama. All right. Now you're getting Notre Dame again, now Bama again. Wait, what?
Yeah. Well, you know, but you beat Notre Dame at home, though, so that doesn't really
count.
That
doesn't really count.
Yeah. No, that would be a only at Georgia moment for
sure. So who would your best bet what would your way too early playoff quartet be for the 2019 season?
Alabama and Georgia. I still don't see anyone putting up a fight against Clemson in the ACC, even if they do have to. They've got to slip some on defense, right? Just a little bit?
Yeah, they got 4 first-round picks on D-line.
And then Texas or Michigan.
Because Browning's gone. Now, here would be the other part. Jacob Eason leads Washington back in there.
Yeah, that'd be only at Georgia, too, if we had to play them. But I'd take that.
I'll take that now.
I'd rather play Washington in the playoff than Alabama, Texas, Michigan, any of those guys. Because, Peterson hadn't been great in bowl games.
No. I do kind of like them against the Buckeyes.
Well, I mean, you got to be. Urban Meyer is really good in bowl games, and this is the last one for at least a year.
Maybe those.
So.
Maybe his players all hate him, and they're just going to lay down.
That'd be a thought.
Win this one for Urban. Yeah, we don't like that guy.
Yeah.
But look at him. I just thought of the other quarterback that's going in the first round is Haskins. I saw a mock draft that had Haskins, Greer, Locke, and Herbert.
Because he is draft eligible, mm-hmm. and I would think he would leave with Meyer. And they have Tate Martell there.
True.
So they got the heir apparent already. So, Haskins, you're right. He'll be gone too.
God, that guy looks a lot like Jim Mora Jr.
Who does?
The new coach at Ohio
State. I thought you were talking about Dwayne Haskins.
No, you're thinking about the wrong guy.
Ryan Day?
Yeah.
As long as he's not as crazy as Jim Mora Jr.
He might be.
He's not actually a junior. Isn't that the thing about him?
A different middle name.
They have a different middle name.
Yeah, then you're not a junior.
Yeah. All right, anyway, I ran out of steam making up fake categories, so we're just regular questions the rest of the way. Jeff, Tech apparently has interviewed Temple coach Jeff Collins for its vacant coaching position. Is Jeff Collins somebody that we would even be mildly concerned about if he took that job? I mean, he has done he's done well at Temple, kind of like Matt Rhule had done well at Temple.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and I wouldn't be worried about that guy. Then 5 years later, it's like, oh, gosh, we're in another
trial. Honestly, I don't know. A realistic Tech hire. Like, of course, if Tech hired Urban Meyer, that would freak me out.
Yes.
But realistic, there isn't anybody that Tech is going to hire that we would be concerned that is going to swing the balance of power in this state.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would be worried if they got Giff Smith in here because he can recruit.
And he would come with Wisenhunt.
I would guess. I don't know, but I would guess. If they hired Jeff Monken and kept going with the triple option, it's the same type deal year in and year out with him. That worry is just, God, are we going to be able to stop this? And the other factor, too, now listen, it had nothing to do. In the end, we still should have made the kick, shouldn't have faked the punt, should have won the game, whatever. But having to prepare for that option the week before that Bama game, I mean, that is it's just a dramatic change of what you're doing. It's difficult. So if Tech wants to keep going with the option, I think they'll hire Monken. If he would leave Army for Tech, I don't know.
I don't think they're not going to want to keep the same offense.
It seems to me they're wanting to get away from it. Now, with them interviewing Collins here, does that make you think that Wisenhunt may not want it? mean, that's a pretty good – he's been to the Super Bowl as a head coach. With the year the Chargers are having, he seems like he's a guy who could get another crack as a head coach. It's not like he was bad at Arizona.
No, and didn't he coach the Titans too for a while?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good coach.
Yeah. And now he is the OC there in L.A., so – I mean, he couldn't get the – Green Bay wouldn't hire him. I mean, Arizona would probably do better with him back there than they're currently doing. Although
I thought
Saban
was going to Green Bay.
No, I think the word out of Columbus, Ohio, is that Jim Harbaugh is going to go there.
Ah.
I think the Buckeyes fans, now that they lost Urban Meyer, like their mission is to get rid of Jim Harbaugh. Because, I mean, you know now, like, Michigan's going to overtake Ohio State.
Yeah, it's the coach.
Yeah. I mean, they have Harbaugh, and Ohio State has Ryan Day.
I mean, it's like when you had Tressel and Brady Hoke. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, if you're expecting – maybe it will, but if you're expecting, like, lightning is going to strike twice and you just hired the next Lincoln Riley, I mean, odds are, you know, pretty long on that. Because the thing about, like – you know, when the – like, Urban Meyer's, like, telling people that, oh, yeah, this guy, he's better than Dan Mullen and Tom Herman. But the thing is, like – other schools wanted to hire Tom Herman and Dan Mullen. I'm not aware of anyone else who wanted Ryan Day.
That's exactly right, Chris. I mean, those guys have gotten big-time jobs. You know, they've done very well. What do you think about Riley? Is he still in play in the NFL? Has that cooled off?
Well, I guess the trouble is like the – you know, it looked like – I mean, Garrett was going to be making an exit at Dallas, but they might end up winning the division and going to the playoffs.
But now if they don't go, like if the Eagles – and I'm Philly's kind of
– oh, Philly's in play Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah, in Big D, Dallas coming off that win over the Saints.
So we're liking the Eagles this weekend.
I do. Now, Dallas has that extra time because they played on that Thursday.
That makes me like Philly even
and
more.
Philly's on a short week because they just played Monday, but –
so it's tilted towards the Cowboys. If Dallas doesn't make the playoffs, is Garrett still out?
Yes.
I think so, too. I mean, I still think Cleveland could be in play because of the Mayfield deal.
Well, you know, I saw where Mayfield says, I won't lobby for Riley to come here. But it sounds
to me like you just are.
Yeah, well, just even the fact, like, the subject is coming up, that at least it's crossing people's minds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And Riley did not go to Oklahoma. I mean, it's not like Kirby being here. I mean, if Kirby wanted to express an interest in the NFL, teams would talk to him. I mean, he's done great at Georgia here. But, you know, he wants to be at Georgia. This is his destination job. I'm not sure Oklahoma is Lincoln Riley's destination job.
No. Well, he was at, like, what, East Carolina?
I mean,
he's really still a young guy.
He was like 33.
Yeah. And then Stoops scooped him up. And
yeah. He's part of that
league right
deal.
Over.
That's another one, though. I would not want for Tech to hire Mike Leach.
No, I'd rather not that. I'm glad. I mean, I haven't really even heard any whispers of that.
Apparently he wants the job.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, the Tech should hire him. Why are they even interviewing other people?
I'm glad Tennessee didn't hire him either.
Me too. I hired that defensive guru who got carved up by Fritz Schirmer.
He was 31 for 35 in that game.
Yeah, that's not good. That's a Vandy quarterback we're talking about.
Good for Vandy.
Yeah, good for Vandy. Bad for Tennessee. They didn't really build on that Kentucky win, did they?
Boy, so you look at their pass defense numbers with what Locke and Schirmer did those last two games.
Yeah. They got to get that tightened up.
Well, hopefully not.
Or they got to play Fromm in week 4 or 5 or something. Maybe 6 because there's a bye week now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to like 2 bye weeks next year, but –
I like them. I wish they were spread. I'd like to have one of them in November because that is a gauntlet.
Yes. Closing with Florida, Missouri, Auburn, A&M, and Tech. Tech is going to be terrible.
I was hoping Missouri would be too, but them getting Kelly Bryant in there.
No, Missouri's still going to be good.
And I think we'll win. David said something about this. He said, I think Missouri's one of those teams. It's kind of like South Carolina. And obviously we've handled in the last few years with Kirby here, and in Coach Rick's last year. But it's like, I think we're going to beat Missouri. But it's like every year it's going to be a tough game. They play us good.
Yeah, they're not going to be a pushover. And
they're big. They're physical.
Now they're going to be in a different spot on the schedule. And – I mean, they could end up being the second-best team in the East. I mean, right now they still are.
Are they the second?
They beat Florida and Tennessee again.
Yeah. Are they the second best program in the East? I do think Florida and Mullen will overtake, but I mean, right now, when you look at the last 2 or 3 years, they're undefeated in November the last 2 years.
Yeah, and they just got a high profile transfer to go there in Bryant. And they got their leading receivers will be back with Jonathan Johnson and then Albert O. They've got their top two running backs back, three offensive linemen.
You got me worried about Missouri now.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about them. That game's not until November 9th next year.
You know, what would help us, too, is if Auburn has a bad year. Like, that schedule's tough. We need for a couple of those teams to have bad years.
Yeah, Auburn might. But then, you know, Auburn's that weird team, though. When you think they're going to be bad, then they come up and they just bite you.
It's like they'll find a guy.
Yeah, they'll find a guy. You're right about that.
Get a Nick Fairley. They'll
end up with that Khalil Tate. Mark my words.
Oh, jeez.
All right, there's your 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.